So it just took us 45 minutes to actually get our heads in the right space to be able to come to StreamYard from Zoom. And then just found out that my mic was not working because it was not plugged into my laptop. It was actually plugged in to my power strip, and kind of helps to have things plugged in where they need to be plugged in order to actually make them work.
It doesn't matter.
We are recording on a Monday. We do not do Mondays for a reason. This is clearly the reason that we need to go back to our Thursdays. So since we last recorded, we have officially dropped 3 episodes on Spotify. Did you binge listen to them once they came out?
I binge listened. Did you?
I did. Multiple times.
So is it weird that we binge listened to ourselves?
I don't think so. Maybe to somebody else, but not to me. Like, I listened to them on the way to work, when I got to my office, on the way home from the office, and then I started it over the next day because I started listening to it with my daughter in the car, and she was like, are we going to start listening to them? And I was like, oh, yeah, you haven't listened. You've been in school all day. Sure. So we had to go back and find. So I've listened to the first 3 episodes probably 3 times now.
Nice. Nice. So you, here's the key, though. Did you laugh at yourself?
Of course I laughed at myself. I'm hilarious. But then I was also like, ooh, good point. I know we are total.
I know. I was like, ooh, I forgot we said that.
Yeah, I did decide that whatever my microphone is does not sound like me. So if anybody is only ever listening to this podcast and then they meet us in person, this is not what you are hearing, is not how my voice actually sounds. I don't sound like this.
But, okay, maybe not in your head, but you sound like this to me.
Yeah, but even like my daughter, and when we were listening to it, and my nephew was in the car because I picked.
Oh, well, this is professional, Nicole, though. It's not that you don't sound like this. It's that you're, this is professional,
I don't know, something.
Nicole.
This is just, like, my nephew was like, is that you talking? Because you had said my name at one point. And he was like, is that you talking? And I was like, yeah, this is that podcast I was doing. And he's like, that doesn't sound like you. I was like, I know. I can't figure out what's going on with my voice because I'm like intentionally trying not to change it. And we, you know, we all have that like phone professional voice that we do. I'm trying specifically not to use that. And I still feel like I am. So I don't know how to change that. Anybody that knows how to like out of your own head and not have that professional talking voice, let me know.
Welcome to Home Care Hot Seats with Kelly and Nicole, the exclusive podcast for home care owners by home care owners. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Nicole, two home care owners who live and breathe the challenges and triumphs of the industry every day. Join us as we dive into the latest happenings, innovative strategies, and the raw truth of balancing business with everyday life.
Whether you're a seasoned owner, a new entrepreneur, or just curious about the world of home care, you're in the right place. For today, I thought that we would talk about team-managed agency, that concept, because...
Ooh, good topic.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions about this, and coming on the heels of the podcast that we did about virtual assistants, and... you know, kind of the whole point of using a virtual assistant is to keep your overhead low and to keep your processes flowing. And I would argue that a team managed agency does the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So
I will say, since that episode dropped with Kat, where we were talking about virtual assistants, I've hired 2 more. So
you're going all virtual.
I might just completely go virtual at this point. I have had such a positive experience with virtual assistants and what they bring to the table that I'm just like, let's use them. Let's do it.
That's when it's, you know, when you start to realize that there is a lot that you can delegate out, that's when it really becomes like game changing, I think.
Yeah. And I think like for Lindsay with her role, she's always been very process driven. And so for her, delegation was not something that she's done a lot of. And as we move into this next year, like part of that, her role is going to change in the agency. And so I'm like, this morning we had a little powwow before we actually like opened for the day. And I was like, look, it's not about being in charge of everything. It's now about being in charge of everyone. And that includes these virtual assistants. And everything you are doing, you have to do through the lens of, can this be delegated? Because you can have things on your schedule. She's so used to having a structured schedule for herself that there's not open time implemented into that structured schedule. So I'm like, if something goes awry and you have to be there for your team, you need to have open space for that. You need to have space to be able to be a support person for them. Just because there's nothing on your calendar doesn't mean that you're not doing anything. And this is kind of the next shift in her role. When we talk about team-led agencies, this is kind of the next step for her, is changing that mindset from an operator to more of that hybrid visionary that I talk about when I do coaching stuff. She has it. She just has to stop relying so much on the operator mindset and move into that kind of visionary, more hybrid role where it's more big picture and other people are doing the operations. And I remember being where she was, and it was hard. She came in this morning and I could just see the overwhelm on her face. And I'm like, all right, we're going to have real talk. Like, I'm going to talk to you for a minute as your mentor and not your boss. You are overwhelmed. You are overstimulated. You were sick all weekend. Do you think that that was a coincidence? No, you are working yourself into burnout. So we've got resources. You need to use them. You need to change the way that you're operating and processing things, because until you do, you're going to stay in this comfort zone of being overwhelmed.
Right.
Because the idea of not knowing what to do next is scary. I get it. But believe me, you'll find things to do. It will still find you.
Yeah. It's so funny that you said that, because I got a text this morning. Hold on. I'm going to look at it so I can give you like actual like time stamps. 6 a.m., which you know I'm not a morning person. Okay. 6 a.m., Kirsten, who's my director of care, texted me. Not only did she text, but she texted me to let me know that one of the referrals that we were waiting for from the VA was posted on the website. So I was like, wait a second. It's 6 a.m. You're on the VA website? And she said that she couldn't sleep. She was dreaming about these referrals that we had talked about last week. And I was like, I mean, I remember being that, I remember, you know, that's when you know, like when you wake up in the middle of the night and all you have done is dreamed beyond home care. Mm-hmm. Like that's when you know it's like, whew.
Yeah.
But I saw that today and I thought, that's like red flag for me, because it is hard to get into the new mindset. Mm-hmm. And we have a virtual assistant as well that we've brought on board. And have actually started to transition him a little bit more into our day-to-day operations, because before he was more of like my personal executive assistant. And I realized that really we could utilize his skills in the business. And so it's hard to get to that place where you're training somebody to do the things that you are really comfortable with. So I just went ahead this morning and set him up with like all the internal trainings for the scheduling and the client management and the caregiver management. And I was like, hey, so I want you to start going through this, because once you're done with this, like you'll have the baseline in WellSky, and then we'll go ahead and get you plugged in to the day-to-day operations.
So I know you and I have both kind of been out of daily operations. And today we're talking about like team-led agencies. And this is a question I get all the time from people is, what does your agency look like? What roles do you have in place for your administrative staff? Like, what does your internal structure look like in your agency?
Yeah, so I think this is such a good question. And people ask it because they want to know the like how to do it, right? They want to know the playbook. So I've been in business now for 7 years, and I have iterated this 5 times.
Yeah.
So I think probably what the best thing I could say to anyone who's listening is, I'll give you my structure. My structure is not going to work for you. The principles will. And it took me a really long time to get that. But so for us, you know, when we talk about a team-led agency or a team-managed agency, we're talking about the agency supporting itself, okay? For me, I look at it as spreading out that accountability and that responsibility to, you know, as much as we can, because the more people who understand how the day-to-day operations work and how, you know, everything kind of fits in together, the more stable we are, the more on the same page we are, the more that, you know, our client onboarding also helps with our marketing, also helps with our caregiver retention, you know, everybody needs to be on the same page and see this, the big picture. So we implemented a lot of the ALE, the Action Leader Experience practices, of having those team-led roles. So we bring somebody in, put them through our baseline care provider. They become, you know, certified Beyond Home care providers. And then we give them the opportunity to go to the next level, take on a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more accountability into a care lead role. From there, they can then move into a care manager role. And, you know, the whole point of all of that really is that if one person, you know, isn't there, there is all this other that can support it. And I do think that it is scary for people to realize that they are replaceable, but there's also, everyone is replaceable. And it's so important that that is our mindset. We can't hold anything in our brains, right? And I think when we say that, a lot of times we're thinking about our people, but the reality is that's us. That is us. And we are so worried about not teaching, you know, those how to run the agency and the basic principles. And because what if they do it better than me? Oh, man, I hope they do it better than I do. I can tell you right now, Kirsten does it a hell of a lot better than
I do. And I think for anybody that gets their business to a point where they start exiting daily operations, we all talk about like, what does that look like when we're no longer in the agency? And I have my agency set up where I am replaceable. I should be replaceable. I should not be the only thing that keeps this cog spinning. If I walked out here at 5 o'clock today and God forbid got hit by a bus and died, I know, regardless of what she thinks, Lindsay could step into my role and she could run this agency, like you said, a hell of a lot better than I could, because she understands all of the intricate pieces that go into running the business. And it's, at first it was coming from someone who kind of started this independently and worked themselves up to a point where, you know, I had to develop this team. It was scary at first. Like, it took me a really, really long time to give Lindsay access into my QuickBooks account, because that was the last piece that I had, you know, like if everything else failed, I knew the finance stuff. I had the business in all of the money and where things were going and what they were set up to. And we have a new staff that's been with us. I mean, she's been with me since I opened. She's my longest standing employee. we just recently transitioned her into a director of care role in our agency. And one of the things that she's responsible for is doing billing of private pay clients. So last week was that training for her. And Lindsay came in, she's like, do you want me to give Tabitha access to our QuickBooks account? Because I'm going to go over private pay billing with her. And I was like, yeah. And I just went back to doing what I was doing. And she just kind of stood there and she's like, are you sure? And I was like, sure. Yeah. Why? And she was like, you held on to QuickBooks for so long. You didn't give me access to that for like ever. I had to fight to get access to that, to be able to like take that load off of you. And you're just giving it away. Like, she was like, should I ask for other things since you're just in such a giving mood today? But that's, I was awesome. Like, if she can't do her job to the level that we need her to do her job to, if she doesn't have access to it. So yeah, give it to her. So that, in that moment, I was like, oh, that was a mind shift change for me. Like, and that just happened. So I think for anybody that like thinks that Kelly and I have like it all together, everything is solid and on track, and you know, we still struggle with things like any other home care agency owners do. I struggled with giving away my payroll or my QuickBooks account information. And when I did give it away, I was still heavily monitoring it. So that was a struggle that I had for a long time. And just until like Lindsay brought that up, I was like, yeah, I did struggle with that. Now I'm like, give it to whoever the hell wants to do it. If somebody wants to do payroll, if somebody else wants to do billing,
let them do it.
Give it to them. I want nothing to do with it.
I think that in the beginning, it's that control aspect. It is something we talked about this before. It is something you created from, you know, you birthed this thing out of nothing. You are so proud. You want to keep your hands on it. And, you know, even though we talk about being out of it, our influence is still there. And I think that's the most important part that's still there. I will never forget. Mm-hmm. I had a client once who, it was like maybe the second year I was in business, and had asked if I was bringing on an operator or something. And I was like, no, I mean, no, second year in business. And she was like, well, that's good, because nobody can run your agency like you can. And I, you know, I felt very proud on that. But the reality is that if you are your agency, then if something happens to you or you need to step away, like, the agency's done.
Yep.
It'll never be able to sell. It'll never be able to grow without you. I mean, you'll be tied to it. And that's not sustainable. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'll say the other part of it, I think, is that when I look back on all the things that I am proud of in building this, probably one of my proudest moments is bringing my director of care into that role. Because, mm-hmm. You know, when I look at the team managed agency, for us, it really does look like, you know, growing from our caregivers. And that doesn't say that we, you know, will only ever have caregivers that grow up within the agency and work within it. You know, there are definitely skill sets that we may have to hire from outside, but we've been really fortunate that, you know, we've been able to find some of those key values and principles in work ethic and people who are really coachable, and mm-hmm. coach them into that role. So, you know, somebody who never really thought that they could do this, and continue to pour into them and continue to give them the confidence. And man, I mean, like, that is, for me, like, probably one of the proudest things I've done. And I love it, because I think Kristen and Lindsay will probably listen to this podcast. And so they'll get
to hear, I know that they will,
all the things that we're saying about them. But, you know, I will never forget when I kind of made Kirsten mad once, when she had just kind of joined our office staff. She was a caregiver part-time for a while, and, you know, she'd just been a stay-at-home mom, so she wasn't really like 100% in, you know. But she, we needed a receptionist, so she joined the office staff. And so anytime I have somebody join the office staff, I always do an Enneagram or, you know, personality mm-hmm. assessment with them, because you know, we need to know how to work with each other.
Absolutely.
And so her second highest Enneagram score was like the Achiever, which I'm like a high achiever Enneagram, which is not shocking because, you know, some of the things that it says, you know, can be bossy. Like, you know, there's some attributes in there.
No.
I'd rather not be. But hers came up as being that was her second highest. And I said to her, I was like, that really surprises me, Kirsten. I haven't seen that side of you. And it wasn't like a slight at all. It was more of just a comment. Well, so she told me later that lit a fire under her. And she was like, I'm going to prove her wrong that she's never seen that. And I tell you what, every opportunity that she had to learn something else or to get involved, or she has. She's the biggest cheerleader that we have for Beyond Home Care. She is, you know, the most supportive, has the best attitude. Like, she loves what she does, and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why would I not want to support every single ounce of that in her growth, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that statement, no one's going to run your agency like you, when I hear that, I challenge that, because I don't want them to run the agency like me.
Yeah.
I hope nobody runs the agency like I do. Because at the end of the day, again, this is something that we've birthed, we've created. But the way that I feel some days about my agency, I need somebody to not run it like I would. Because there are some days where I'm like, okay, cool, shut it down, I'm done.
Yes.
And I need somebody. I need somebody that is going to come in and be able to pull from all of the other things that I do and all of the other ways that I feel positive about this agency. Because as your agency grows and you start delegation and you start growing and expanding, the initial reason tends to leave the forefront of your thought. Like when I started this, it was because I wanted my grandpa to have somebody that he could count on, somebody that made him feel safe. And I was that person that did that. But I'm so far removed from that now with the home care and the day program and the assisted living and the podcast and the coaching. I need somebody who's going to run it differently, because with the amount of to-dos and tasks and things that are on my plate, I can't run my agency like I would have run it when I started it. So I need somebody to not run it like me. And so when people say no one's going to run your agency like you, I don't necessarily view that as a negative. I don't want somebody to run it like me, because there are a lot of days where I'm like, I don't even want to run it.
Yes.
And coming in, when you have a team-led agency, you have people like Lindsay started with me part-time in the middle of COVID. She had been working at a youth home, so it was very different environment, and she was burnt out. I mean, she was working days on end, and she says, I will give you, I don't remember if it was 2 days or 3 days. It might have been like 2.5 days. Like, I'll give you Tuesday, Thursday, and like a half day on Wednesday. But that's all I can commit to right now. Like, I just need to refine myself. And I just kept telling her, when you're ready for full time, it's there. And over the course of probably 6 to 7 months, like, she immediately just set herself apart. And it was a no-brainer that at some point when she was ready, like, she was going to be the next person that I developed into a leader in the agency. And it wasn't through just going to work and doing bare minimum. Like, she embodied what my goal was and not only understood it, but helped me remember that on days that were really, really tough. And for any of the home care agency owners listening, you fully understand what that means. The calls from clients when they're yelling at you and they're telling you that you're incompetent and you don't know what you're doing, and your staff are arguing and fighting with you and not going to work, and families are upset with you because how dare you change a schedule, you know, all the things that happen. And so when you find somebody who wants to run your agency differently than you did, hell yeah, come on, let's go. How are you going to help me see how I need to do things differently? Because I'm not always right, even though I like to think that I am. I don't have all the answers. I sure as the hell wasn't told or taught how to run a home care agency. The only thing I'm doing is figuring it out day by day and helping my team walk through some problems, which most of the time they can figure out themselves. I tell Lindsay all the time, I feel like sometimes me being here actually handicaps her.
Yeah.
And so we're working, her and I are working on figuring that out. But having a team-led agency, we've hired people from outside, and I have not had it turn into a positive experience. I've really struggled hiring people from outside. And for a while I was like, yes, you need to bring in people from the outside. I'm kind of back to my other mindset of, we're not just another home care agency. So I need people that really fully understand the expectation and the execution of what we do. And that doesn't necessarily come from somebody who's outside coming in. So yeah, I like the no one's going to run your agency like you do. I like that. I want people that are going to do it differently and do it better. And since I stopped looking at that as a positive thing, it's been a benefit to bringing in those people that can do it differently and who honestly have continued to do it better and grow it and make it what it has become. And it's because they don't do it like I do.
Right. Yeah, I think that it's been interesting because you kind of have two groups of people. When you start talking about this team-led agency, you get some folks who are like, I don't have anyone on my team that I would want to be in leadership. I don't have anyone that, you know, wants more. I don't have anyone that could do more. And then you've got people who are like, oh my gosh, yes, I've got some superstars. I've got, you know, so I think that's an interesting dynamic that we tend to see. You know, I think that when you stop hiring bodies, that's kind of when you start to see that shift. Because we are team-led and because, you know, we're a small rural agency. And when I say team-led, I probably, like, we should define that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I don't have one scheduler. Like, we have a main person who oversees the schedule, but we have care managers that schedule for their caseload. We have, you know, everybody kind of knows how to do that role and can easily step into it. And we have a structure of the way that we schedule so it's not chaos and it works for us. Like I said, what works for me is not necessarily going to work for you. But then we lean on our care leads and our care managers to do our trainings and our supervisory visits and our client introductions and, you know, those things that have to be done and need to be done well, and but they don't have to be done by an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in some states, sure, you're going to have a supervisory done by an RN, and that's different. Like, that's not what, you know, but in a lot of places, there are routine tasks that need to be done that have, you know, a system. Those processes, it's not rocket science. It can be taught.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you can find what people enjoy and what they love and what they are really good at and, you know, use those skills, for us, it's worked well because I can keep my admin low. So I don't have to have 5 people in the office to manage the agency, which means that I don't have to have 5 salaries. And I can spread that responsibility out and pay my care staff at a higher rate to take on those extra responsibilities. I think that, for me, is huge because it's what allows me to hire a higher caliber person and not just a random body.
Right. Which I think is something that a lot of our agencies struggle with is it's a body. I need somebody, again, letting, you know, need be the evaluator.
You get 24-hour case and you don't have any caregivers that can staff it. You're looking at like 5 or 6. And if you just hire new bodies for that, oh my gosh, like it's a nightmare.
Yeah. The idea of a 24/7 case. So for all of you that don't know, my agency does not do 24/7 cases. The idea of a 24/7 case, oh man, it makes me want to walk over to this window in my office and just like jump out it, because it seems like such a headache and such a pain in the ass. So I have Medicaid. We are primarily Medicaid. Medicaid won't pay for 24/7 care in home care anyways. So thank God, because we would not do it. We tried it. I think we tried it with like 2 people at 2 different times. And each time it was one of the great things that we did so wrong. And it was such a learning experience for us that I'm like, there is nothing there. It is not worth the money to have the potential, because we all know like word of mouth advertising is the best. Yeah. And if we mess this up, because we took them, you know, because they were like high ticket clients. They're like big names in the community. And yeah, there's really, really good potential for positive word of mouth advertising. And it became this has to be done right. It has to be done well. And we hadn't done it. We'd only done it maybe one other time, because we've only had 2 24/7 cases. So I ended up being the primary 24/7 caregiver.
Oh, and I'm gosh.
Like, this.
No wonder you hate
them. I hate them. Like, yeah, they're getting great care. They're getting the best care that they can, because who gives better care than the owner of the agency? But what we're not talking about is the fact that I packed a bag and said to my family, like, I'm out of here. See you when I see you. Don't know what that looks like. Yeah, I don't like 24/7. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people that just, I know that that's how a lot of agencies thrive, and it's just not been our thing. So yeah. The idea of...
For a lot of folks, especially if you're in the private pay world, you know, you get a 24/7, that's 168 hours a week. That's a big chunk, right? Like from one client.
Oh, it's a huge chunk of change.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are really excited about that. We only take so many, you know, we are very selective on right fit client. So,
and there are a lot of agencies that do 24/7 cases and they do them well. Yeah. And I don't want to take away anything from 24/7 agencies or private pay agencies that do those things well. I know that there's a lot of you out there that do 24/7. You do it well. Kudos to you. With the primary focus of what we do being Medicaid, it just doesn't fit into the wheelhouse. We don't have the time, the consistency that's needed to be able to nurture that 24/7 case. So it's just so far outside of what we do on a normal basis that it doesn't feel natural or normal for us to take those on. So when we get a referral for a 24/7, like, don't get me wrong, like, we oogle and ogle at the amount of billable hours that would be for a second. And then I'm like, okay, but let's come back to reality. Who the hell are we going to staff this case with? Because all of our caregivers are used to working Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And you want to throw a 24/7 case to them? They don't give a shit. They are not signing up for that stuff. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's right. I have an assisted living. We don't have to do 24/7 cases. But yeah, no, 24/7 cases, they're great. They're great income. Lots of agencies do them and do them well. It is not something that we could do well, and we have failed miserably. So we just stopped.
There you go. We have digressed from our team managed.
Yeah, we got way outside of team-led agency there.
That's a little bit of a soapbox. If you can't tell, listener, that is a little bit of a soapbox.
That's all right.
So along your 20, I was going to say along your 24/7 journey.
It was short.
Along your Yeah. Along your journey of becoming a team-led agency, what would you say are kind of the big ahas that really kind of moved you into that?
Yeah, it was, for me, one of the things that we think can't happen in home care is work-life balance. And when I started looking at having this team-led agency and realizing that it didn't have to all be me, that there are other people that want this in my agency just as much as I do, it became easy to say, okay, it's 5 o'clock. I'm going to my kid's wrestling meet or a volleyball game, and to be present in those things and know that my team had it. And not only did they have it, they were doing it and they were executing it better than I would have, because I would have been executing it from a mindset of a burnout, overwhelmed owner. They were doing it because it was part of their responsibility. And not only were they executing it, but they were executing it well. So for me, when I started to see that, yeah, there's still things that we're on the hook for 24/7 as the owner, but you can really filter that responsibility across a team. And your team not only wants to do it, but they want to do it well. And if you understand the way that your leaders work in your agency, and you look at the responsibilities of the agency, and you delegate to the strong suits or to their strong suits, the change that happens in an agency, not only do I get to step out of daily operations, my team gets to have structured time outside of daily operations. Not everybody is on call over the weekend. We have structured on-call people. We have, after a certain time, our phones are not getting answered because it's not a necessity. We don't have those emergency things that come up that require us to be glued to our phones. So learning how to, one, identify the things that needed to be delegated, and the members within my team that were able to do those tasks and execute them well, it was an absolute game changer in our agency. It helped us be able to expand and step out into other areas that I didn't think we would be doing so soon in kind of my big picture of what I wanted from the agency. We're doing things now in year 5.5 that I hadn't anticipated doing until year 10, 11 in the agency. So it really changed the trajectory of our agency.
Yeah, and that's exciting. I think the key there is just it's the delegation part, mm-hmm. that, you know, you have to be comfortable letting someone else. It doesn't mean that you're giving over 100% control or 100%, you know, because you still are responsible for setting that expectation and making sure that you're, you know, painting the picture of what that looks like on the other side. And, you know, that's where your influence and you comes in. But yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. It's when I get stuck in those $10 an hour tasks, like Kat was talking about. Yeah, that's when
I. And I think that the one thing that I like, I don't want to say I like to do, but I think is really, really important when you're developing a team-led agency is letting your team fail. Hmm. And we don't, as owners, we don't want to do that. And rightfully so, because again, this is our baby. This is what we've developed and birthed. But right. Obviously we're controlling the failures that happen. But
yeah, low stakes.
Yeah. They can't win at everything. And people learn best through making mistakes. And if it's not a detrimental mistake, let them make it. Let them learn from a failure, because I can guarantee you they are never going to make that mistake again if it is impactful enough for them to remember. I'm not talking about like they forgot to call somebody back. That's an us thing. It happens to all of us. But we have to be able to recognize, is this a mistake that I can allow them to make? And is it going to, big picture, be detrimental for my agency, or is it going to be a better learning opportunity? Obviously, if it's detrimental, don't freaking let them make the mistake. Jump in and help them and walk them through why they're about to make a mistake. But if there are things that can be, for example, when I was teaching my last director how to do billing, you know, with being Medicaid, we can only bill certain time. We can only bill so many times a month. Some agencies, it's biweekly. Some agencies, it's monthly. And it's all for services past. So I was teaching her, and I have a grid of who we bill when, and she had forgotten. It was one of the agencies we billed biweekly. She forgot. And it ended up being about a month and a half. And I was going to let it go for 60 days, because at 60 days, we lose the opportunity to bill for any of those services. And I knew what bills were coming up. I knew when payroll was. I knew that this amount of money that we were going to be billing really was not going to be the end all be all of the agency. And so I let it go. And she missed 2 billing cycles. And we were coming up on what the 3rd billing cycle should have been. And when she finally realized that she had forgotten to bill, she was in tears in my office crying. And that was never the outcome that I was hoping to get. But what she walked away with, and the thing that never happened again, is she never forgot to bill. So it was one of those, I kept asking myself, and this was a trial and error for me too, like, how long do I let her go? Like, how do I address this when it does happen? But I had to let her fail. I had to let her forget something fully and recognize it before she identified, oh, shit, this is a huge part of my job. And we had a conversation about, you know, when she did realize that she had forgotten, that the impact that could have had on the agency, the expectations moving forward. And so we took what could have been a really negative experience and put it into the parameters of, you know, this is your expectation. This is what I am going to expect moving forward. And this is what could have happened. But without that, there was no way for her and for me to really solidify that she fully understood her role and her impact if she didn't bill on time. It's really important to let your team fail. And I think when you can bring that failure into the light of, I myself have done this same thing, it humanizes you and it makes them realize that regardless of what persona we put out there, we don't know it all. We are fumbling our way through it just like the rest of them. We don't have all the answers. We fake it till we make it. And anybody that says otherwise is a liar.
Thanks for joining us on Home Care Hot Seats with Kelly and Nicole. We hope today's session has given you insight, inspiration, and a sense of community in this ever-evolving journey of home care ownership. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and share it with other fellow home care agency professionals.
Have a topic you want us to discuss or a story to share? Reach out to us and join the conversation. You'll find the links and contact info you need in the show notes below. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place. Bye for now.